heard from the Word? Amen. Good. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me, I did not, to Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Jerry, can I just walk this up there, Pastor Jerry? Don't you love seeing those children up there praising the Lord? That's really what this church is all about. It's about family. And you can't talk about family without talking about our children. Amen? And I'm going to read from the King James, and I'm going to a place, thought here. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And everyone said amen. We, in the Bible, over and over in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we'll read a few of those verses, starting with verse 15. And I want to show you the curses in the Bible, the curse of the law, the curse of not being able to cooperate and to be able to fully do the law. Nobody could. Nobody can. But it says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning at verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the Lord, the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. And we can go on and on. It goes for until verse 68 here. And that's just part of the curses. Moses talked to the people of Israel on his side of the Jordan. And he said, I set before you today life or death, blessing or cursing. He said, choose blessing. Choose life. Now, I want to say to you, nobody kept the law. Nobody could keep the full law. And so Christ was sent to us. Jesus was sent to you and I. And he has redeemed us. He's bought us back. He's purchased us back with his life so that we would not be lost in eternity. He redeemed us from the curse, and I'm going to say this. I stake my life on this. I believe this for many, many years. How do I explain this? I believe this. I believe in my salvation. Everybody that is saved, these curses, and there are many of them, and this is not the only place where they are. You're redeemed from them. And what that means is this. Satan can't put this on you just because he wants to. He can't put these curses on your life. You have to understand that. You have to, what do you have to do? Just wake up every morning and be a son. Be a daughter of the Lord. And for many, many years, I've lived my youth from my 30s on up in front of this church. I don't get sick. But let me tell you something. There is a devil that's looking for you to mess up. And that the word says, give no place to the devil. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. So let me just tell you this here. It rains on the just. It rains on the unjust. It rains on everybody. But the more that you understand about who you are and that you try, and I want to tell you something. I want to share this with you. I violated some stuff and I gave place to the devil in my life. And he came in and he went right for my jugular vein. He wanted to kill me. But the Lord did not let him. I was over-medicated and I allowed that to be that way. And I didn't try to change that. And little by little, that began to overtake my life and my body. And I knew something was wrong. I just didn't know what it was. And I just thought every day, well, this will get better. This is just something. Until last Wednesday night was the climax of this. When I was when I went to the to Washington General, is that what it's called, in Springdale, Northwest Medical Center. What town? Springdale. And they began to help me. And my surgeon is just the most wonderful, anointed Christian man. And we shared Paula Deen's recipes, the same one for our beef, for our prime rib. But he told my wife, he said, you know, that's the hardest head I've ever had to drill through in my whole life. He said, and he said, when I broke through, he said, that fluid, which is partially blood, but partially other things, it went up 12 inches. And I was in dire, dire need of God's help. There's one thing I can tell you. No matter what happens, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you're going to be all right. And I just begin to reflect on my life, reflect on how I got there, reflect on what the problem was. Because, see, the devil can't make me sick or steal from me just because he wants to. And at times, we've all suffered. We've suffered in this church. We've suffered through many, many things in this church. The unfair loss of little children, like what just happened to Nicole and Mike. By the way, that just happened to to Ryan that was here. And what's his wife's name? Daniela. That just happened to them today. And she was just working on her nursing stuff, and just like Nicole is, and people wonder why. And I think sometimes when something just happens, when I had to stand in front of a full house in 2013 when Gucci was killed? What year was that? 2014, I'm glad not many people remember that. I don't feel so bad up here. I remember wearing his T-shirt. I still have that T-shirt with his face on it. And standing room only. And I had to look at people right at Christmas time and try to explain them. And let me tell you, that's not easy. It's not easy at all. But there's one thing I can tell you. In this life, when we go through something, we have to go through it. We have to go through it. We don't understand everything. And what you want to do every day, you want to make sure that you're a believer. I wear many hats in life. When I wake up, I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a neighbor. I'm an enemy. I'm many things. But the first thing that I am is I'm a son. I'm a son of God. And it's the most wonderful thing in my life. And this son tells his father every day, Lord God, into your hands I commit my spirit. Whatever you see fit for the day is what I want. I trust you. If it's my day to die, now they told me if I would have went to sleep instead of going to the hospital, to Washington General in Springdale, that I would, well, what did they say? I would have not woke up. I don't know if that's true or not. All I know is this here. If I would have woke up in heaven, my gosh, I was getting ready to go to pick up the food today with Brother Larry. And there was a straight up rainbow early in the morning. And I just felt like God wants you to know there's a rainbow coming. Whatever you're going through, there's a rainbow coming in your life. And what we have to do, if you would put Philippians 4:13 up there, this has got to be part of your repertoire of what you have to do. Nobody can promise you not to have trouble. In fact, Jesus promised us in John 16:33, in this life you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome this life. And how does that affect you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go through anything. I'm not going to commit suicide over it. I'm not going to lose my faith in God. I can do all things through Christ. And I have seen people have to go through terrible, terrible losses in this church. And that's the only explanation. But there are things that you can do. For it's that when you wake up in the morning, you know that you're born again, that you're a born-again believer. And then you know the Word of God, and you look for, make sure there's no places where Satan is tempting you or you're disregarding something. Now, just because you're born again, and I'll tell you this for a fact, you can't over-medicate yourself. But I did, and it hurt me. Okay? So you need somebody to look you in the eye here and tell you the truth about things. And I can tell you this here. This has been an awesome life. My poor doctor, that poor staff, all those nurses. How could you possibly be this strong? The last night there was a Filipino girl named JJ. And she was my nurse, and we had trouble at night. Some of my stuff fell out and this and that. And she said, Angelo, how are you so strong? We're all talking about you. How can that be? I've never seen anything like this. And I began to just share with her, well, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. The Lord is in my life. He watches over me. He helps me. And she thought about that. It was about 5:45 in the morning. And by the time we got back into the elevator to go to the room, she just was weeping, and she said, how do I become a Christian? And the presence of God filled that elevator. And I began to explain to her how to get saved and what that meant and what it could mean to her life and how the Lord would change her life in many ways. She has a 2.5-year-old son that her husband has never seen. He's still in the Philippines. She said, Angelo, on our honeymoon, I conceived my son. And we're waiting and hoping that my husband will be here soon, which is going to happen. And I begin to see, if there's one thing I know as a soul winner, is that when somebody's about to get saved, if you just help them a little bit. And I thought, how fitting. Satan, you thought you had me down. Watch this. And we went back up and I gave her a verse. I said, JJ, can I give you a verse? I think this is what God is saying to you right now. I gave this same verse to Clifford Bridges a couple of years ago when he died. his mother, Elwanda Bridges, called me and said, would you please pray for my son Clifford? Because would you pray for his soul? Would you go visit him? And I said, I will if I have permission to say that you asked me to go. Because I spent a lot of time with Clifford. He's like one of my little brothers. And I never talked to him about his soul. I showed him. I showed him love and acceptance. And of course, I saw him. And I told him, your mother asked me to come here. Could I just tell you a few things that hopefully would give you faith? Y'all remember Eugene Bowerman? Yeah. We were turkey hunting, and Eugene said, Brother Angelo, I've got a friend. His name is Marion Bridges, and he hasn't been able to walk. And I told him that I told him I was going to ask if you would come and pray for him. And I did. I said, yeah, I'll go and pray for you. And I knelt down in front of Marion in his house with some of his family there. I put my hands on his knees. And I said, Marion, do you believe in the power of God? He said, yes, I do. And thank you. I said, I believe you can walk. Do you believe that? And I said, yes. I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yes. And I knelt down. It's like this right in front of him. And all I did was look him in the eye. Say, Marion, in the name of Jesus, you get up out of this chair and you walk. Marion got up out of that chair. And he walked. He walked for the rest of his life. It was over 2.5 years. He never was crippled again. He died on his way to a doctor's visit in Paris. And he died walking. That's the God we're talking about. I said, Clifford, your mama has sent me to come here. He had cancer, lung cancer. She asked me to talk to you about your soul. I said, if you'll give me permission, I will. And I said, Clifford, can I talk to you about your soul? He said, yes. And I just spent a few minutes sharing with him what it meant to be saved. And he had an idea. And I said, Clifford, I've got a Bible verse for you. If it fits you, we'll go on. If not, I'll just go and I'll see you again soon. That was the last time I saw Clifford alive. I tried to visit him. I was not allowed to. But I said, Clifford, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any person hears my voice and opens up, I will come in. I said, I think that's what Jesus is saying to you right now. He said, that's exactly what Jesus is saying to me. Can I lead you to Christ? Will you open that door right now? Yes. And he was saved. I could go on and on and on. And that little girl, her conversion. And then I just began to realize, here you are. You were kind of told by some pretty knowledgeable people that you could have died. And this is what I thought. I might have been going to die, but I was taking somebody to heaven. And little Jackie, little JJ, she's saved tonight. Perhaps we'll meet her. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some of you have suffered terrible losses. There's nothing a preacher can do. there's nothing anything can do for some of the losses that we've suffered. We just have to say this here. I'm going to the other side of this. I'm not going to die on this side of sadness. I'm going to the other side. Jesus sent his disciples ahead in the boat to cross the lake to go to the other side. A terrible storm came up. And they began to cry out in fear. And Jesus came to them walking on the water. And they were frightened. They said, "This is a ghost." But said, "Fear not," Jesus said. "It is I." And Peter, bless his heart, said, "Lord, if that's really you, command me that I can get out and come to you and walk on the water." He said, "Come." That's what some of you need to do right now. Millie was ministering to somebody today. And tell them how you said that about walking on the water, sweetheart. And we'll close in just a second.
Well, we all must at some point in time walk on the water. And that means putting your eyes on Jesus and walking by faith. We get in that position where we just think about Peter and what happened to him and his lack of faith because he started sinking. But that is in there for us so that we know that each one of us, whether you have cancer, whether you have a diagnosis that's bad, whether you're in a tragedy or you're in mourning, you're walking on water. And we all have to do it at some point in time in our lives. It's not always easy. But if you keep your eyes on him, you'll make it. You'll make it through.
Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. The word says Peter was walking to Jesus on the water, but when he started looking at the wind and the waves and the situation he was in, he began to sink. You might feel tonight like you're beginning to sink. And all he simply did was say, "Jesus, help me." And Jesus reached out and caught him. I want you to think tonight, I'm not going to ask for any, we're going to just all come to the altar or make an altar. I want you to do that, and I want you to think about your life. And I want you to know God cares about you. God cares about what you're going through. And I want you to call on him. If you feel like you're sinking, I want you to say, "Jesus, please help me soon." Everybody, if you would, please.